This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. Thank you for joining us on this latest installment of our podcast series. And our guest today is Bill Conway, Carlisle's co-CEO and Chief Investment Officer. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Chris. Nice to be here.
Bill, one of the things I've always liked about you is that you have an ability to find awe and wonder in life, in people, and in your faith. And recently we talked about how excited you were about technological advancements and innovation and the like. So tell us what's on your mind. What are you so excited about?
I'm very excited about innovation. I think it's going to make things so much better for all of us. A lot of times people are down. They see the negatives going on. People tend to be very inward-looking sometimes. They see their own problem, and they tend to really focus so much on that. And it's tough to get sometimes outside of themselves and to see the big picture. There's little surveys taken, and people think life is going to be less good for their children than it was for them, unlike all the other generations that preceded us. And I think that that's crazy.
So when you hear of something really cool, like SpaceX developing a reusable rocket, what does that say to you about life, about ingenuity, about innovation?
Well, SpaceX is a really good example. So Elon Musk launches this rocket. It goes up, and its first stage delivers to the space station 3 tons of goods. And it comes back to Earth and lands on a barge 200 miles off the coast of Florida that is like the size of a football field. And on the one hand, one would say, well, what's the big deal? That eventually we knew somebody was going to do that. I've seen it on Star Trek and Star Wars and for years, and it's just a matter of time. But Elon Musk and SpaceX, they actually did it. And the fact that it was done, I think it's a combination of that innovation, frankly, in that case, and persistence. Because the first few times they tried to land it upright on a barge or some other place, they had trouble. It crashed. So I think it will make space travel and space exploration better because you can reuse the rocket, which is cheaper, and it's also faster as opposed to going to have to build a whole new rocket each time you want to take one into space.
Do you think people who are innovative are optimists?
Yes, I do. But I think a lot of it is persistence. They have to have this ability to kind of stick to itiveness, combined with brilliance in many cases and genius, but also some hope. It starts with, well, how can I make this better? How can I make life better or some outcome better? And frequently that does take hope. But hope all by itself isn't nearly enough. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work and perhaps some genius thrown in that makes the hope pay off with some great result.
What are a couple of the other innovative things that have gotten you excited recently?
You know, Chris, they happen all the time. That's the thing I love. A few ideas, though, that really do catch my attention. I like the medical field. What can we learn from what's going on there? And there are lots of examples. One was there is a young man at Ohio State University. And about 2 years ago, he has an accident in a swimming pool, and he severs his spinal cord, and he becomes quadriplegic. The scientists at Ohio State implant a chip in the man's brain, and it has a certain number of electrodes coming out from it, and over time, he learns how to move his arm, despite the fact he's got a severed spinal cord. And there are actually a couple of other developments then that were built on this. For example, somebody else was able to, instead of implanting the chip on the brain, they actually developed something like a bathing cap that would fit over the skull. And a person could use that to control their limbs who was a quadriplegic. And finally, somebody actually used an Oculus Rift to begin to virtual reality imagine what it would be like to move this avatar and ultimately to then move their own limbs. Amazing things happen. And if they can do that, who knows what else they can do? Just think about possibilities. It's hope. It's innovation. It's, I think, things will be better tomorrow rather than worse tomorrow.
What kind of person is involved with this hopeful industry? Do you think they gravitate towards that?
I think some of them do. For example, if we use the case of the chip in the brain and the quadriplegic, you have people who have a certain sense of compassion there, a refusal to accept the current reality and a desire to change it. And persistence is important in almost anything. It's important in our jobs. It's important in our life. If you think of a golfer like Tiger Woods, he has to practice all the time. It isn't enough to want to be a better golfer. He has to play and practice a lot. And the same thing is true of my job. I get better at it the more I do it, I hope.
Do you consider yourself to be an innovative person?
Generally, my innovations take the form of somebody else's idea and making it better, as opposed to coming up with a brand new idea. My job is far more like a hockey game than it is like a ballet. In a ballet, one knows the next step that somebody's going to take. And in a hockey game, you don't know what's going to happen next. It depends upon what just happened and what other people are doing and so many other things are going on. And it requires an ability to look at 10 deals in an hour rather than look at one deal for 10 hours.
So when you hear about a SpaceX development or the chip in the brain that enables a quadriplegic to regain some mobility, how does that make you feel as a fellow human?
I'm awed by it. Einstein said that imagination is more important than knowledge because imagination encompasses what might happen and could happen in some other future. And knowledge encompasses what we know today. Now, a lot of times, of course, good imagination is built on knowledge. But I think that you just love that in a person, to see the imagination. So I'm in awe of the talent of some people.
Do you create an Elon Musk, or does he already exist? Someone who is innovative. Is it something that you nurture, or is it just a state of being?
I don't know. There's only one Elon Musk. And you wonder, well, what is it that makes him so unique? And maybe it wasn't genius. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't persistence. Maybe it was. Maybe it was the people he surrounded himself with. Maybe it was good luck.
Do you think any of it has to do with just the big dream? Do you think that by the old notion of dreaming big, even if you don't get the big, you still get the pretty big, which is bigger than most people dream for?
Yes, I do. He said that he thought we would put humans on Mars by 2025. And 2025 is just around the corner. We put a man on the moon 47 years ago. Kind of an amazing development. So to think that in 9 years that he will put somebody on Mars, this isn't NASA, it isn't the U.S. government, it's SpaceX and Elon Musk. Will it happen by 2025? No. I think the fact that somebody's going to try to do it might make it happen by 2050 or 2026. I don't know what it will be. And Musk has these big ideas, and I think it's great. Why not?
So as the chief investment officer at Carlyle, when you have one of your deal people come up with a big idea, how do you ensure that someone doesn't say, oh, get your head out of the clouds and be practical? So what kind of environment are you creating among the investment professionals here to ensure that innovative thinking is allowed to bloom?
When we started Carlyle, and maybe for the first 10 or 20 years, much of my job was saying no. People would come to me with an idea or a company they wanted to buy or an asset they thought they wanted to invest in, and I would say no. That doesn't make sense. You're paying way too much. There are all these potential problems that could occur. And it served us well. I'd say for the last 10 years, it's really been more the opposite, pushing people to do things, pay higher prices that they would not have done before.
What was the shift?
Part of the shift was me. We had this conservatism that I embody, I did and I probably still do, that affected people's decision-making. And they saw that it was successful. And I think that my view is and was that what worked in the past may not work in the future. Frankly, in most times in the investing side, I think about technology and innovation a little bit from the opposite perspective. I wonder, how can technological disruption affect an investment that we made under one set of assumptions, and really where that innovation and that technology is going to take what used to be the accepted way of the world, totally different going forward. An example would be automotive insurance. How's that going to be affected by the rise of Uber? How is it affected by driverless cars? Are they safer? Are they less safe? Do you need as many parking garages, by the way? There are a lot of things you want to think about, but I think it's an example of the potential for disruption. And I'd say it happens in almost every deal now.
You know, I spoke with several of our investment professionals over the course of the past year on innovation, and I was really amazed that they came back almost universally, but independent of each other, saying that to be truly innovative is less genius and more of the framework you operate in, and allowing people to fail, allowing people to voice their opinion. Is that coming from you?
I certainly support that. One of the things that we have to do, and I have to do in particular, is let people fail. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. And I think that when a young person makes a mistake or somebody new, they can find it paralyzing. And I have to let them know that that was my mistake. It wasn't their mistake. It was my mistake. I could have stopped them from doing it, and I didn't. And unfortunately, of course, we all learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes. Our successes make us think we're geniuses. You pat yourself on the back on how smart you are. When you fail, and we all do, you say, what lessons can I learn from that? Why didn't I see that coming? And I think that we all need to maybe keep learning forever, really. I'd like to tell the story of the smallpox eradication. And there's a couple of things that are relevant here. One is persistence, and the other is importance of one person. Smallpox was on the planet for thousands of years. And in the 50s, there were like 50 million people who got smallpox, killing lots of people. And people said, we're going to eradicate smallpox. So what would happen is whenever a case of smallpox was developed, that person would be surrounded by people who had been vaccinated and therefore had an immunity against the smallpox, the spread of smallpox. And if you got smallpox, you could get a minor or major. If you get very old major, you're going to die. If you got a minor case, you lived. The planet got together, and for 30 years, beginning in the early 50s, they went after smallpox. And every time there was a case, they surrounded this person with this. World Health Organization was very involved. It was eliminated in America in the early 70s, 71, 72. It had been eliminated previously in places like Australia and New Zealand, parts of Europe before that and then after that. A case was discovered in India in a train station. As we're nearing the end, we're getting ready to kind of declare victory that there are no more cases of smallpox. And this young man goes and stands in front of the train getting ready to leave the station. He won't let the train leave the station because he knows if smallpox gets out of that station and then starts to spread across India, that we're going to have to start all over again. So that's the importance of one man or one person. And when we think about it, we all think, I'm not Elon Musk. I'm just, you know, an ordinary person. But one person can make a huge difference. And I think in all our lives, the time comes where we're there with that one person. And won't be standing in front of a train in India, stopping the train from leaving the station. It'll be some other thing that will happen. And you have to be ready when that moment hits you. You're the person. You have to make that difference.
So we've talked a lot about how innovation impacts technology. Do you think innovation can impact the human condition or human nature, or is it constant?
Oh, it's certainly not constant. And it certainly impacts all of us all the time. Take AI. Why couldn't they develop AI that could do Bill Conway's job and better than he could do it? Could it free us? Could it be a freeing kind of thing, innovation and technology? It can so improve the human condition, I think, frankly, in ways that we don't imagine. I don't even know what they'll be. maybe life expectancy.
So do you have a friend or a buddy or a colleague where when you come upon something that's really exciting, that you just want to talk to them about it because you know they'll get it?
I wish I did, but no. I've always been a little bit of a child in many ways, kind of maybe one of the world's oldest children. I still look in wonder at the stars at night. I think some people think I'm a little crazy on some of the stuff. When I tell stories about the Lucky 13 or curing smallpox or measles or chips in the brain or driverless cars or artificial intelligence or Bitcoin, you know, there's a lot of things that happen and that fascinate me. I actually don't have anybody I talk to about it. I don't want any volunteers, though, necessarily. But what I'd love to do is hear other people. I keep a little file of, I cut out articles that appear in the press. Experimental brain implant gives paralyzed man the sense of touch again. A spaceman who wants to show us life on Mars. Paraplegics regain partial movement with the help of virtual reality theory. Rosetta's comet landing ends 30-year project. Understanding matter that takes strange shapes. Building the world's smallest machines on the scale of a billionth of a meter. There's just lots of things I find and I think, wow.
It sounds like you just revel in life.
You know, Chris, this will sound arrogant and I don't mean it to. I'm the luckiest guy I know. I really feel so blessed. I have a great wife and son. I have good health. I have lots of friends. I have more money than I ever dreamed of. I get down in the morning and say my prayers and say, what am I supposed to do? So I do revel in life. Why wouldn't I?
Bill, thank you for joining us on this latest podcast on innovation and sharing your thoughts and your so obvious excitement about life. It's really inspiring.
Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.